Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There are doubtful things that are happening, like the day that you worship or what you eat. Those kind of things were taking place. And so this book is a book about unity. It's one of the strong topics that you find in the book of Romans, is that we are of one Lord. We are one body, one spirit. We're going to find the book of Romans going into this unity that we have.
You picked a great day to join us here on Practical Christian Living, because today we begin a series in the book of Romans. Romans is a book, a letter, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome to unify them on the one thing that connects us all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with our introduction to the book of Romans.
Open up your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 1 as we begin our new study in the book of Romans. I'm really excited to do this. We had done Romans not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I'd moved through it at a really quick pace. And when I was done, Johnny was reminding me of a conversation we had that I felt like I left so much more out there that we really needed to cover. So I'm really excited to do this in-depth Bible study. I take it that these chapters will take us somewhere around a year, maybe even a little bit longer to make our way all the way through. We're going to be talking about doctrine and then theology, and there's a lot of practicality here as well. There's a lot of great stuff, so I'm just excited to be a part of that. So with that said, and your Bible's open to Romans chapter 1, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless our Bible study. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, and it is life-changing. We thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives as we study your word. And we pray now, and we give you this time in the study of Romans. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to be established, even as Paul talks in this very book about being established in you. Let us draw near to you by the time that we spend in your word, even this evening. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I am really excited for us to dive into the book of Romans again. Understanding this book and its truths and the way it flows can be truly transformational. Many pastors, leaders, and scholars have been transformed over the years by understanding the things that are in the book of Romans. There are testimonies of Christian leaders in church history who studied the book of Romans and had their lives truly changed by what they found here. Augustine and John Wesley are among those who were transformed by reading the book of Romans. Also, it's got a connection to Calvary Chapel and Chuck Smith. We teach through books of the Bible. When Pastor Chuck took over the small little church Calvary Chapel, he had left the Four Square movement where he was pastoring and took over that small little church. He had about 2 years of sermons. This is his own story. I'm just saying it like he says. Had about 2 years of sermons. He was getting near, you know, a lot of churches have pastors move around a lot. And that's what he was used to, moving into a new Four Square church every couple of years. And he was getting near the end and he thought, I need to do something because I don't want to leave Huntington Beach. He was actually a surfer, and he thought, I want him to remain here and still surf. That's the story he tells. And he got a hold of Barnhouse's work on Romans, which is a 6-volume set on Romans, which is absolutely phenomenal. It's the gold standard for studying the book of Romans. And he looked through it, and he thought, I think I could get 2 or 3 years out of Romans. And he started going through the book of Romans. And more people came, and things exploded as people started to come just to hear the word of God taught. And so we, as a Calvary Chapel, have a connection to the book of Romans as well, because that's what put it on Chuck's heart to teach all the way through the Bible. Now, the title of our message today is pretty basic, Introduction and Overview of the Book of Romans. And our subtitle today is The Theme of Romans. So we want to talk about what that theme is. We're going to be covering Romans 1, ready for it? Verses 1 and 2. So we're going to cover 2 verses this evening. Now, the Apostle Paul was the author of this book. You remember that he was an enemy of the church. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. He was an activist against the church. He was full of hatred. He actually arrested Christians and gave his vote for them to be killed, but he met the Lord on the road and was transformed. We know that Saul of Tarsus was a historical person. It's really interesting to me. Now, the way that our world is today, when someone tries to represent something as not being true, it's really easy for us to find the information that it's true. When I first started pastoring in the mid-80s, that wasn't the case. People could say whatever they want to say, and scholars could write books and misrepresent the evidence. But now, if you misrepresent the evidence, the scholars are going to see it and know it. You're going to be found out. And so back in those days, there were those who believed that Paul was a myth. They didn't believe he was a myth because the evidence was all over the place that he wasn't, that he was a very real person. There's the evidence, the historical evidence, it's just so strong that he was a real person. But they used to say that he wasn't and that he didn't write the books that are attributed to his name. Well, and now we know that there's only a question on a couple of the books that critical scholars will have against Christianity as to whether or not Paul wrote them. We know that Paul wrote the book of Romans on his third missionary journey while he was in the area of Corinth. So from there, he wanted to go to Rome, and we know from studying the book of Acts that he had a heart to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome, and he actually writes this in this book. He says to them, I've tried to go to you guys a lot of times. I haven't been able to make it. Now, what makes this really interesting is that Romans is the only letter that he writes to a place where he didn't start the church. Galatians, the region of Galatia was a missionary journey. Philemon, a letter to an individual. The Thessalonica, all the other letters that he wrote were places that he planted. He had not gone here. But there was something very interesting that was happening. The church in Rome grew, and we don't know from where. We don't know the origins of the church in Rome. We have no idea. But the Emperor Claudius, sometime between the mid-40s and the early 50s, expelled the Jews from Rome. He made a decision as the emperor that the Jews could no longer be in Rome. They were expelled, and it lasted for 5 years. So the church that had been established there was Gentile and Jewish, just like the churches everywhere were. There were Jews who got saved, and there were Gentiles that got saved. And they had to learn to work together. But in Rome, the Jews had been removed for 5 years. This letter is written shortly after the Jews have returned to Rome. And now they've reintroduced themselves to the Gentiles. And now there's friction because the Jewish Christians are living one way and they have certain priorities that they have, certain things that they do. And the Gentile Christians are living another way. And there are doubtful things, Romans chapter 14, where Paul talks about not arguing over doubtful things. There are doubtful things that are happening, like the day that you worship or what you eat. Those kind of things were taking place. And so this book is a book about unity. It's one of the strong topics that you find in the book of Romans, is that we are of one Lord. We are one body, one spirit. We're going to find the book of Romans going into this unity that we have, because Paul is trying to put them back together again. But he also wants to make sure that they have the heart of Christianity, which is the gospel. And so the theme of this book literally is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read to you Acts 18, 1 and 2. Here we're told that Aquila and Priscilla were removed when Claudius banned the Jews from Rome. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came with them. Think about what that meant. Now there was the separation and then them coming back together again, and there being a lot of divisions that were there. Let's read our two verses. This is Romans 1, 1 and 2. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, there's a lot there, but notice that he starts off in the very beginning after a short introduction, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So right away, he introduces the gospel, the good news that Jesus would die for the sins of mankind, as was foretold in the Scriptures, that Jesus himself would rise again, that he would be buried and rise again according to the Scriptures. Now, that's not the theme verse that we pick out for it being the gospel. That's the main theme. We go to Romans, where do we go here? Well, let's go to Romans 9, 30 and 33. I'll get there in a moment. In Romans 9, 30 through 33, what shall we say then that the Gentiles, at this point, I just want to give you an example of the division that was taking place between the Gentiles and the Jews. And this is Romans 9, 30 and 33. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? So the Gentiles believe by faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. So this is the end of Romans 9, where you have the vessels of honor and dishonor. And you find that a lot of people also twist the book of Romans to say things that it never says. And so they'll say, well, something's never said in Scripture, that God chose people before the foundations of the world to either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. But what God chose is the way you become a vessel of honor or dishonor. By not believing, you become a vessel of dishonor. By believing, you become a vessel of honor. And the passage that says, so who are you to speak against God, really is to those who don't want to say, you can choose and believe in the Lord. Now, this brings us to our first lesson for our study today. And that is, in order to understand a verse, we must take it in context with the totality of Scripture, of the book, the chapter, and the surrounding verses. You can take a verse out of context and you can make it say whatever you want to make it say. In 3 John, there's a verse that says, above all things, I would that you would prosper and be in good health. That's been used by the faith movement to say, above everything, God wants you to prosper, have money, and be in good health above everything. But there's another verse that God says, above all things, I would that you would have a fervent love for one another. When you go back and read it in context, you read that it's John's introduction to his friend. He says, my beloved Gaius, I would that you would prosper and be in good health in all things. Putting it in context, you realize the I there isn't God, it's John for Gaius, that he wants him to be in good health. We're going to have to watch out for that as we make our way through the book of Romans, and we're looking at different doctrinal ideas that are there. We really and truly are on a truth quest. We want to know what the truth is. We want to believe what the Scriptures say. We don't want to go to the Scriptures to back up what we already believe. We want to go to the Scriptures to find out what to believe. We are finding out what we are believing while we're here. Now, this is never more true than in the book of Romans. Keeping context in mind will keep us grounded to the things that Paul has written for us. Now, I want to go over an overview of the book of Romans. I might go kind of fast over this. I don't want to take a long time. There's 16 chapters, so I want to kind of overview all 16 chapters. If you want these notes, if you're a note taker and you can't keep up, then you can go to our YouTube page, give us a little bit of time, and we'll have all of these in the show notes that are down under it in the YouTube page. So just go there. You can always get the outline and the basic points that we cover and the Scriptures that we use. If you're thinking, man, Robert went so fast, I couldn't get all the Scriptures that he went over, you can always go there. You can find the Scriptures that we use. You can actually go and click on the link, and it will take you right to the place in the study that we go over that verse. So here's a basic overview. Remember, the theme is the gospel, and chapter 1 of the book of Romans is about the need for the gospel. There are people who have deliberately walked away from God. Chapter 2 is the gospel, the law and morality. That people are beginning to be immoral and turn away from God. Chapter 3 is the gospel and God's grace. He immediately comes out of chapters 1 and 2, which talks about the state of mankind and the need for the gospel, and talks about the grace of God, which ends up being the answer to that. Now, chapter 4 is the gospel in the Old Testament. Here we find an example of Abraham, who believes God and it's accounted to him righteousness. Abraham lives before the law. Abraham isn't saved by the law. This is going to be one of Paul's points in the book of Romans, that the law is fulfilled in Christ and we are not justified by the law. And he uses Abraham as the example. He had said to Abraham that one of your descendants is going to bless all nations. He believed God, and it was going to come through Isaac. He believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness. Think about that. Abraham never heard the name of Jesus. He's in the Old Testament. He believes God, and he's what? Accredited. That means that God took the cross and what Jesus did 2,500 years after Abraham at the cross, 1,500 years before Abraham. I got to do my math right. 1,500 years before Abraham at the cross, and he accredited it to Abraham. Jesus died for him. It's the righteousness of Christ that Abraham received, but it came being accredited to him. So all of the Old Testament saints were saved by the cross, just as all of the New Testament saints were. The relationship just changed slightly of being under the law and being out from under the law. So chapter 4 goes over these Old Testament examples, the gospel in the Old Testament. The fifth chapter, the benefits of the gospel. So there's benefits of our walk with Christ. The sixth chapter is the gospel and battling sin. We're told that we are no longer slaves to sin. And we're told how to win the fight against sin. And it starts off by saying that the grace of God does not negate my desire to be righteous. The seventh chapter is the gospel over the law and my struggle. You remember it's in the seventh chapter that Paul says, the very things that I don't want to do, those I end up doing. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That resonates so much with us, because which one of us as a Christian hasn't had that exact same struggle? That we feel like the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I end up doing. And then, of course, chapter 8, the gospel and God's faithfulness. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come. And he goes on this list of the great faithfulness of God in our lives. Chapter 9, this is really important, the gospel and Israel. Because people want to twist the book of Romans to say that God is no longer going to be faithful to Israel. And so he deals with the nation of Israel. In chapter 10, the application of the gospel. Here's where we hear, if we will believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we shall be saved. So he gives us the actual way in which we give our commitment to Christ. We actually give our lives to him. In chapter 11, the gospel and Israel's salvation. He actually says all of Israel will be saved. God's going to faithfully restore Israel. We're told in the Old Testament that in the last days that God is going to pour out a spirit of grace and mercy upon Jerusalem. And they will weep for him as one weeps for an only son when they look upon me whom they pierced. Zechariah 12:10. So when did God get pierced in Jerusalem? When Jesus was on that cross. Chapter 12, living in the light of the gospel. That chapter starts off with, we are to be living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world mold you into what it's trying to do, but let God transform you and live the way that you're supposed to live. Chapter 13, responding to the government in the light of the gospel. How do we interact with the government? Should we follow what the government says or not? Chapter 14, the weaker brother, not to fight over doubtful things, and that we should consider the weaker brother in the things that we do. Chapter 15, just a couple more, blessing others in the light of the gospel. Chapter 14 talks very much like Philippians chapter 2 about putting other people's interest above your own interest, that you are not to live for yourself, but you are to live for other people. And then chapter 16, friendship in the light of the gospel. Paul goes over all of the people that he's writing to there in Rome that he knows and says hi to them and them back. And it talks about the unity and the oneness that we find there. This is what we're going to be covering over the next year or so as we make our way through the book of Romans. Now let's take a look at this theme. This is the theme verse, okay? This is Romans 1, 1 and 2. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated for the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Now here's the actual theme verse, Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the way people get saved. And that's why we stay close to the gospel. It's why we give the gospel regularly, which brings us to our second lesson. And that is, we need to prioritize the gospel because it is the power of God to salvation. I'm going to show you exactly what the gospel is here in just a moment, but we need to prioritize it in our lives. Gospel, of course, means good news. Now, let's consider what Paul says here. He starts off, Paul, which we know very well after studying the book of Acts who he is, was an enemy, but now a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He starts off not with an apostle, which he signs a few of his letters with Paul an apostle, but he starts off as a bondservant. A bondservant is not just a slave, but it is a slave by choice. So if you were a slave, you could be set free in certain circumstances. And if you didn't want to go free, maybe you got set free, but your family was there. And you evaluated things and decided better for me to be a slave with my family than to be free without my family. And so you could become a bond servant of someone. Maybe you just weren't able to make ends meet. And you knew someone that needed a servant. And you said, I'll be your servant just to make ends meet. And you became a bond servant to them. So Paul says, I'm just a servant. And I love that humility because of all the things that Paul does, but it speaks to us of the humility that we should have as well. It's not about what we achieve. It's about how we serve one another. Paul, a bond servant of Christ, called to be an apostle. Now here, the word apostle means sent out one. And I think that when Paul says here and in Galatians and the other letters that he is an apostle, I believe it is one of the 12 apostles.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.